Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the Near Post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. Just prior to Australia getting the World Cup bid on to host the 2022 World Cup on Friday.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, definitely. We're going to tell you why later in the show, okay? So, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Women's World Cup. We're going to talk about the A-League. Everything. We've got it. The battle of the coaches, Australian coaches, Ange Postecoglou versus... Graham Arnold, back from his tuition under Gus Hiddink. We'll have a chat about that as well. And you can contact us, as always, flanagan.eamon@gmail.com. And get the podcast on the blog, nearpost.blogspot.com, where I've been firing up. And also on iTunes and Halftime Heroes. And we're streamed from the studios in Canberra, 2XXFM.org.au. Dedicate the show every week, and this week it's to Ben Buckley's chance. You can do it, Ben Buckley's chance. Because
Why can you do it, Ben Buckley?
Well, because he's over there and he's got Frank on board, and they brought on not Julia Gillard, but Elle Macpherson. And apparently the reason they brought on Elle Macpherson onto the team is because FIFA is full of 60-year-old men, and apparently a 45-year-old woman is exactly what they like. So there you go.
Exactly what they need.
No, that's right. And the quiz question. We're straight into it.
All
okay.
Right, okay.
Oh, we love it.
We're talking the Women's World Cup draw was made overnight in Frankfurt, the home of women's football, they say. Anyway, how many World Cups have there been... Women's World Cup have there been so far? That's the first part. And the second part of the question, and where have they been held? How many Women's World Cups have there been, and where have they been held? Lucy, I'm going to start with you.
Oh, God. How many testing the brain power tonight. There's two parts to this quiz question. Look, I'm going to just take a stab in the dark, because it's obviously more than two. We've had a discussion about this. Look, I'm just going to say seven.
Seven?
Lucky seven.
That is a fantastic number, Paddy.
I was going to say four.
Four? You see, Luce, just before you came to air, you said five and you should have stuck with it.
Oh, then why did you say I was right?
I didn't twitch, did I? I'm
confident.
Okay,
five.
Now that we know there's been five Women's World Cups, FIFA World Cups, where have they been held?
Well, there was one in the US, wasn't there?
There was one in the US, that is correct.
Mm. I recall the winning goal.
Yeah.
Was China another place?
I was thinking China.
The last one was China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going pretty well.
Yeah.
Here's where I...
Here's where you start to topple. The mighty empire starts to crumble.
Okay. So I can't recall one in England. I'm trying to think. And the next one's in Germany.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
The next
Norway. Was there one in Norway?
Well, same. I mean, if you're a Norwegian person sitting out there, but Sweden, it's the same
Sweden,
place.
Sweden, yes. Yeah. I'm sure we'll get to
It's like New Zealand, Australia. You're all the same, right?
Scandinavia. Yeah.
England, Ireland, we're all the England, Ireland, we're all the same.
Yeah.
So that leaves you with just two.
Okay. Brazil?
No.
I think you're heading in the right direction.
Somewhere in the South Americas.
Yeah. Can we go Argentina?
No, don't go there. Go back to where you were before.
Really? In Europe, you reckon?
I reckon. No, not in Europe. But go back to where you were before.
Where I was before.
Somewhere around China in that sort of region?
Lucy, China twice. They've had it twice.
China twice!
There you go.
Look at that.
And then, of course, the other country to hold it twice is not Sweden, but...
USA.
All
there right. we go. Okay. Beautiful.
Okay, so we're off to Germany next time. Now, because you're so good, and I'm going to throw your third one in there, who have been the five winners of the World Cup?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know.
What is this? I didn't sign up for this.
No.
I'm not paid enough.
Is this just the half hour of Lucy and I being embarrassed by these questions?
Okay.
Okay, the US.
The US. See, there you go. I knew you weren't embarrassed.
China.
You're stalling. The USA have won it twice.
Right.
Who won the last one?
Was it not China? Scandinavia land?
Germany,
fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
So Germany have won it twice, and that leaves us with just one previous winner in 1995, one of Australia's hosts this time around. It's not Equatorial Guinea. It's not Brazil.
Norway.
Norway,
okay. I said Norway.
I know, but I don't like to give you... so when you say
it... Not to tell me that I've got it right.
That's right. That's the whole point of a quiz. Okay, we've got a bit of news, and the news is Beckham brought in 23,500 fans to Newcastle. And the five A-League games brought in 34,000. FIFA are up to their eyes in it, and if Qatar win the World Cup, The hosting rights, I'll eat paddy. Imagine having the World Cup, all of it, in Adelaide in summer. Wouldn't it be funny, would it? No. Okay.
It's about that size, isn't it? It's a little bit hotter. There have been comments about you can't air condition a whole country.
Yeah, no.
Well, Mr. Bin Greedy, as we call him, thinks they can. Chris Hurd came on for Aston Villa in the 86th minute against Arsenal. Harry scored in Turkey. Timmy Cahill scored, but his side lost 4-1. Everton are going down. David Moyes is up in arms with Timmy's decision to go to the Asia Cup. Chelsea won the league with all their African guys in African Cup last year, so Timmy is not Drogba. Get over it, Moyes.
credit to Timmy. He often represents, like, whenever he's called, he will do his utmost, injury.
I agree.
He comes to...
It's an official FIFA...
Still, there's AFC pressure tournament. From clubs, official or not. Direct and indirect pressure from clubs. And
there's pressure from the near post, mate. If he doesn't turn up for Australia, I'll tell you what.
Yeah,
we're here forever. Everton's just a few games a year, isn't it?
Does he listen? Yeah. I think he listens.
Oh, he would.
He'd be a fool not to.
Nathan Burns played on the weekend. Brett Emerton also played. He lost 7-1 at Old Trafford. Carl Valeri had a game. Nikita Rukovic, Adam Moy all started this weekend. Scott McDonald scored his fifth of the season for Middlesbrough. Brent McGrath, Tommy Orr, Adam Sirota, Mitch Langrat, Brad Jones and many more all spent time on the bench.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Sirota played. No. Sirota hasn't had a start yet, has he?
No.
Tommy Orr didn't play either, Paddy.
No, I know. we all look at Tommy Orr, but Sorota went across with Tommy Orr, and I think he's a bit of a talent. It'll just take a little while.
And Michael Zillow wasn't even mentioned in those that didn't play.
Are we surprised?
Matildas, we have drawn Brazil, Norway, and Equatorial Guinea. And
Can I say it?
Well, is it the group of death?
Oh, I'm saying it, yeah.
Really? You're feeling
well, apparently there's a couple of other groups that are pretty difficult.
Matilda's coach, Tom Samani, said, I think we've drawn a tough group, but I think A, C and D are also tough groups. So there you go.
You're a bit too honest. I'd like more knee-jerk reactions from Tom Samani.
Yeah,
look, he's a great coach. And if there's anybody that's going to front a team, you know, like the Matildas and take them into a good direction, it's Tom.
No problems. We'll get through. In the A-League, in the battle of the renewed, revitalised and now talented Australian coaches, Ange thumped tactical naive Arnie. 5-1. That was very ugly, Arnie. Solazano, Archie, Ifill, Fowler. What a goal Fowler got. Yeah. And Dodd are all among the scorers this weekend. A bit of a talent and experience coming to the fore there. And Australia.
Solazano.
Yeah, you like him. We'll talk about him in a minute. And Australia gives $5 million to Asia for football development. This has not been announced by the FFA or by the federal government. So where did the money come from? The Near Post is pondering that one.
And who did they give it to?
Yeah. To Asia for the AFC.
Paper bags?
At the award ceremony. Last week when Sasha Ognoski won the Asian Footballer of the
Year.
That's
right. Which make more of that?
Katie Gill won the Women's
one, Look, she was pinned to win it anyway, so it was no surprise, but a big credit to her.
And there's nothing from the Near Post that suggests that Mr. Bin Haman said, you can have those awards because we're going to get the World Cup. So this is just a sop to you.
He didn't say that.
No, he didn't say that. But he would have done if he'd have thought of it. And last week we talked up Mustafa Amini, and the week before I even got a meet to sit down and watch him, tell him just how good he was. Musty and his red hair, but he got dragged at half time. The young lad was tired of watching Matt Simon running around in front of him, wasting everyone's time, I guess. And rumour is Greek giants Olympiacos are rumoured to be in talks with Sydney Festival of Football for 2011.
Okay. So obviously that's a good team to have, actually.
That's going around again. So there you go. Now, first of all, we're going to talk World Cup bid. Lucy, Paddy, what are your thoughts?
Oh, Paddy, I'll let you take the floor first.
Can we win?
Well, I just want to say, okay, I'll answer that question. Yes, it's possible that we can win.
But will we actually win it?
Yeah, I don't think so. And... I hope so, and it would be great if we did. But my whole view that we're not going to win it is based on the personalities that are there. Mm-hmm. If we thought we were in for a chance, we'd have some very big names there. As it stands, we've got Elle McPherson, who I think lives in France, has just come over for the day.
Yeah.
And the Governor General. You know, it's not the biggest.
They're not the biggest stars to front it, but then I pose the question, okay, who would we have gotten in those positions? I mean, the Governor-General, that was a bit of a no-brainer. It was
It's good free publicity. Gillard would have gone in, Rudd would have gone in, somebody would have.
Do you really want Rudd, the former Prime Minister? I know that Elle Macpherson...
But no, it's not about wanting. He would want the limelight, and so he would be drawn there if he thought there was a chance.
But that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking is who's suitable for these roles then? if it's not Elle Macpherson, I mean, I think the only reason they've slugged her in there is because she's an internationally known name.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And it's kind of like to boost that star power. It's like, well, look who we've got backing our bid.
It smacks a desperation.
I tend to agree with you, Patty. I mean, we spoke about this last week a little bit more about it. And, you know, now that it's coming to the pointy end of the tail, I really don't think that we are going to get it. I'm just not getting a good vibe from it.
What I found frustrating is that the media focus, and we do get the English media, the Anglo media, and it's all about, I know more about England's bid for the World Cup than I know about Australia. I don't even know.
But why is that?
You know some of the numbers, at least. You get an indication of what's happening with the England bid. I don't have that idea with Australia.
See, what's the excuse for that then? See, we don't have AFL being played anymore. The rugby league is gone. Now we've only got a couple of Tri-Nations things happening with the rugby union. I mean, what's the excuse for not being enough media coverage?
Foxtel have.
Yeah.
Foxtel are doing some good work with it, but I haven't seen it.
The ABC's had a fair bit of coverage on the radio in the morning. And I think part of it is it's like everything. When the Australian cricket team play in Australia, there's a lot of coverage. When they play overseas, there's not much. And I think it's the same here. It's over there. It's out of our time zone.
But this is a big deal. This is the World Cup. Yep. This isn't just some kind of, you know, some Sydney Festival of Football tournament coming to the country or David Beckham landing here. This is the biggest sporting event in the world.
Right. It's a bigger viewing audience than the Olympics. And remember the focus that was on the Olympics and our opportunity to get it. You know, everybody was focused in on it. You know, there were people waiting for that decision. Now it is not the talk around the water cooler. Mm. It is not the focus of the media.
Is that because they're down on their chips? They don't think that they can actually win it. I mean, is that the
that might be a part of it. I think also
there's an element,
I've talked to you about this before. I mean, I don't know that Australia's ready for the World Cup either. No, we're not desperate enough. I can't feel that we're desperate. I'm desperate.
I don't think Australia ever will be in that sense, Paddy, because we've got so many sports that we're divided our passions between, and you know, people can switch from rugby league to AFL to football depending on the week and the day. And I think that's inevitable, that you're never going to get everybody focused on, you know, waiting for the World Cup bid, because, you know, you're
always
from
another sport. We were focused on the Olympics. And
were we really?
You know, there was massive focus on the Olympics. We can be focused on the World Cup.
I think they'll be focused. If we win at 2 o'clock in the morning, they're all jumping up and down over there, it'll be on the news for day. And that's when the focus will come, I think, rather than in the lead up. You know, how much news do you really want about the bid?
I mean, how much news can you really bring about the bid? I mean, I guess, you know, it's churning out the newsworthy stuff.
There's a fair bit of news about the bid, and the news is all coming from the English papers. You know, BBC Panorama broke a story just recently about three of the executive committee who've taken bribes. You know, there's massive news about this, but it's all about the 2018 bid.
Yeah. You know, this could again be a case of, okay, well, rewind back to 2005 before we knew that, that Australia was going to make it to the World Cup. You know, nobody was really hyped up about it, were they? It was, can they make it, can't they? You know, for those passionate ones, they were involved, but for the rest of the nation, no one cared. But as soon as they did, then you watch the crowd intake boost up and people started to pay more attention to football.
Right.
So that could be the case again. If we get it, people might stand up and listen.
Having said this, having put forward all my rational arguments, I'm desperate for Australia to get it.
I will
try and watch that live.
Absolutely.
You know, Qatar, if Qatar get it, it's a disgrace.
That would be
a bit of a disgrace. How can they?
But
I mean,
not surprising though. A disgrace, but
not
surprising.
But
why?
Not
it'd be surprising to me. It's smaller than Adelaide, isn't it?
Because you know that.
Imagine having the World Cup in Adelaide.
It's not about the logistics of it. It's about the
sustainability
the bids
and
the bids and the moving and shaking behind the scenes of the executive committee.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no rationale to have. I think somebody wrote during the week saying if it was going to be in the Middle East, you'd have Qatar with Dubai and all those other places. So you'd have, you know, you really would spread it. But to have it in one small.
Qatar's got a lot of money.
Which makes it more abhorrent for that they would even get it, just because of that reason.
I mean, of course.
It's not about growth of the game, is it? It's not about, you know, giving it to a passionate football nation. I mean, they don't even have any players. They all come from Brazil and
exactly. I tend to say that it comes more from, you know, does this country have the infrastructure to be able to sustain such a huge sporting event? You know, and I think Australia does. I tend to think as well that we should start to kind of lay off from kind of giving it to Australian football so much. I mean, we're constantly on the back of the A-League and saying, oh, the Aussie team's this and the Aussie team's that. You know, we've got to remember we're still a new league and we can't keep comparing ourselves to these bigger ones. So
no, that's right. And there was I guess so. Any chance at all? We have, apparently how it works is you have to get more than 50% of the vote, so more than 12, I think, depending on whether the OCI are back in,
and then and who's being paid under the table?
Yes,
who's still being paid under
and the
table?
And the reason, again, one of the comments during the week is Australia's got no chance because we haven't bribed anybody. So you know, we didn't have enough money in our $45 million bid.
Yeah.
You know, so we had to get Elle McPherson because she lives in France, because we'd already spent 44.9. We had enough left for a train ticket, not a plane ticket. So we got Elle in for that one, but unfortunately, no money for the big boys who need a million or so each. So
I think we have a chance. I think we have
of
a chance.
Of course, we do,
because of all the kerfuffle that's been happening. They might go to the report, and we did very well in the report with the US. US has had it reasonably recently. Australia have a chance.
I think there's one reason we've got a chance, and one reason only. There's a guy called Frank Lowy. Now, he's built his empire across the world, and anybody that does that does not put their time into failing out, you know. And I think, like, he's put a lot of time in this at his 80-odd 2 years of age, and I think, well, if anyone knows how to wheel and deal,
it's
it has
Frank
to be
Lowy.
Frank.
Probably him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think if we do have a chance, I think it's because of Frank. And I don't know how he does it. I don't know why, you know, what he's been doing, that, you know, why he gets his business deals done. But
imagine
whatever
if
you're
he
done,
does
Frank.
It. How much?
Whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
How much would we owe Frank Lowy?
Single-handedly
resurrected Australians.
I mean, we should have statues to him all around the country. Everywhere. On every
and they
street
should be
corner.
Worshipped on a particular day of the week.
That's right.
You know?
There would be no man and made a greater cause to Australia than Frank Lowy, would there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God, I hadn't even thought of that. Just goosebumps. Come on, Frank. We're all behind you. Okay. So the near post has just gone. Well, in fact, we'll call it the Frank Lowy Show from now on.
Yeah,
if we get it.
So we'll dedicate it to him every week.
I'll change my blog.
If he gets it, I think we all need our I Love Frank Lowy t-shirts.
Oh,
I love bring them next week.
Absolutely.
That's right. As long as we can have a soccer team in camera, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
We talked about the women. So we're going to lose that. Oh, we're going to win that, sorry, thanks to Frank. The Women's World Cup, we've got Norway, Brazil and Equatorial Guinea. Before we have a little joke about Equatorial Guinea, they are the African Nations champions, so we're not laughing about them either.
Yeah, no, we're not. I mean, when I first saw that, I kind of went to laugh.
I knew you would lose, I thought.
I went to, kind of let out the giggle, but then I was like,
that's the Aussie and you're coming out.
I was like, hang on, we're dealing with some tough customers here. So, like Tommy said, we've definitely got a very tough group, but so are the other groups. So I'd like to think that we will be able to make it out of there.
I think so. Norway are not the team that they used to be when they won the World Cup. And even Brazil, I think Australia these days, Tommy can put a good squad together. He's got.
Yep.
We must be a better team than what we had last time.
That's exactly right. And that's where I think Norway were a good team. We are at our best right now. Mm. We are really firing. Matildas can take on anyone. There's a chance.
Yeah, a question that I do have, is Sally Shipard going to be backing it up for the Matildas? Surely she would be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
I mean, watching that girl play, man, she is on form. Like, I was just, Ned and I and my other brother Ivan, we were all talking about it after we'd watched her play. She, if you slotted her into a men's game, you wouldn't know the difference, because she is constantly hitting the target and the pace of those balls. She's fantastic. So I agree. This is a new look, Matildas.
It is. And I think, it'd be interesting. And lots of younger players have come through since
the
W League started.
And very talented younger players as well.
And I don't know whether you saw the goal on the weekend from Newcastle. Newcastle beat Sydney 2-1.
Sydney
Hill won each game by four, but lost in the last minute from halfway. Amazing.
Yeah, what a cracker of a
16-year-old Tara Andrews. I mean, what a goal to score. So.
I think it's great.
It's not bad. The keeper went way out of her way to get the ball. It was good thinking more than anything else. It was about taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
And in the other games, Brisbane won with Lisa Devanna back on the score sheet. So this weekend, we've got Canberra versus Adelaide United. Ooh. And Lucy, will you be calling?
Definitely be calling the match. That'll be with Russ Gibbs down at the Deakin Football Park. So there's really no excuse for anybody not to take in a dose of the W League, because if you're not listening to us call the match, then you should be A, either watching it on telly on the ABC, or B, down at the ground. So,
and I mean, really, you should be there at the ground with your headphones on, so you're not talking to me, listening to Luce. So that'll be even better. So we wish you well, Luce, and
thank you very much.
It's a good call.
Absolutely.
Can we get out of the group? It's early days, obviously, in the World Cup there for the women, but can we get out of that group?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes,
no
without
problems.
A worry.
And interestingly, there's some massive crowds for women's football, women's sport. Two friendlies in Germany recently, versus Brazil. They got 45,000 at that game. Mm. And then they played, who did they play in the next game? They played a very good team that drew in, they played America. And they drew 35,000. So yeah. Fantastic crowds.
What about that? And these aren't crowds to laugh about. This is actually a lot of people turning up to these games.
A couple of friendlies
just
as well.
Just to friendly matches. Yeah. And, you know, for all the slagging that everyone's given it, this is women's football. So ha-ha to the men's football, because look at the crowds that they're pulling.
Well, Australia men, we'd love to get 35,000 to 45,000 for a game against Paraguay or anybody.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
They've sold 350,000 tickets already for the Women's World Cup, and I'm sure, amazing, like with England and Norway and all the European teams there, the Americans, China, there's going to be a huge interest. I think it's going to be the best, perhaps not as well supported as the Chinese. I think they've got an average of 35,000.
They do. They've got great crowds
I think
With the Aussie dollar skyrocketing upwards, you know, it's practically something we should do.
Near Post could set up over there, for the month. That's right.
I'm in.
Start saving your dollars. I've got
$2.65. Now, I'm going to talk A-League and, of course, a fantastic game on the weekend. A couple of great games, actually, I thought. The Adelaide game we'll talk about, and also the Brisbane Roar game particularly. Adelaide versus Gold Coast, 12,000 people all wearing their red shirts in a fantastic football stadium. Great atmosphere, great game. Did you see the pass?
Yep. What a pass. The kid can play.
Yeah, the kid can play, let me tell you.
Well, it's interesting, you see. I also thought the other kid, who I'm really impressed with, is Ian Ramsey.
Travis Dodd? Oh.
No. No. Oh, Travis. But Ian Ramsey, the ex-Sydney FC Youth Player of the Year, doing really nice things out there on the wing. Quite exciting to watch him play, but...
I believe I derided Adelaide for lack of balance with Lecky gone, and I am now eating my words, because Ramsey was excellent and Dodd was even better. They really found a good balance in their team.
Well, they've got a strength in the squad, haven't they? Because obviously if Lecky's out and they can still bring in, well, Dodd.
There was that big fear that, you know, like you were saying there, Paddy, you know, we thought immediately once he'd been injured, it was like, oh, God, what's the fate of Adelaide going to be like now? But it's good to see that they can, you know, keep blooding up those young players. That's what we need.
Keep pumping them up and bringing them
into the main squads. Yeah. It's fantastic.
It's great. It's great to see. And, I mean, the pass, how would you describe it, Paddy? A twist.
Majestic.
A twist with a flick and weighted ball.
It was the weighted ball that was so good. It's not that he got the pass. And he had the vision to see it. It's that he waited it so perfectly to be run onto. And it was just,
perfection, really.
And, I mean, we were talking off air. Flores, in the media, there's been reports that the Cosmos, the New York Cosmos rather than Canberra Cosmos, are looking for him, and maybe Urara Red Diamonds as well.
Oh.
I wouldn't be surprised. He's been so good.
He's got another 18 months, I think, or less than 18 months on his contract.
If people are prepared to pay out his contract, it's very good for Adelaide. I'm okay with that sort of stuff. Yeah. But I'm very surprised that Thomas Broish isn't also getting
He's outstanding.
Headhunted.
I think he's brilliant as a player, and hasn't he been exciting to watch? And that was something else that I wanted to pick up on too. The football games are just getting better and better, aren't they?
Well, they are. I agree totally. But I think also the two coaches, you know, we've often been criticised by SBS for our quality of coaching in Australia. But we've seen Ange Postecoglou and Graham Arnold. Graham Arnold obviously came back as from the tuition of Pim Verbeek and Gus Hiddink. They matched up on the weekend. Mm. It was fascinating to me to see the tactics of the two coaches. You know, Brisbane, and just said his team out, right, this is how we play. Off you go. You're away from home, but as you go. The other guy caved in, I reckon.
Yeah.
He changed his team.
It's almost as if he buckled under pressure.
A little bit like when he's at the Socceroos, or maybe even with the Olyroos.
Did he just get a bit too cocky and he felt that his team was the equal of Brisbane and he let them play more, and because they were able to play, they took advantage of that? I thought they had much more space. Normally teams pressure Brisbane a lot more and don't give them so much space. Mm. And they let them have space.
I mean, it didn't make any sense.
And that's where they created those, you know, opportunities.
They gave the best team in the league who can keep possession and the best ball playing team. He said, well, you can have the ball and you can have possession. And I'm thinking, well, hang on, that's what Brisbane do well.
That's right.
So tactically, it didn't make any sense to me. And I thought also, I mean, he just sat them back in their own half, really, in front of it. And Brisbane just tore them. They didn't even defend particularly well, did they?
No, I thought there were a lot of loopholes in their defence. And I think it's actually great to see that, you know, they came out and took advantage of those, you know, those poor judgments made by him in terms of, you know, setting up that team structure and, you know, what their ideals were going into the match. And I completely agree with you, Eamon.
I think it really shows a flaw in Arnie. I mean, having said that, though, I don't think Arnie will come back and lose, his team will lose 5-1 again. to the Raw, because I'm sure it'll set them out differently.
And you'll have learned. I mean, you've had all season to be able to judge what this team is like. And like you said, you know, they know that once you give Brisbane a bit of space, they're going to tear it up. And that's what they did.
Well, yeah. Let's put it in perspective. It was one game and he did misstep with his tactics. It appears he misstepped with his tactics.
No, he didn't.
He's done very, 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 very well with Central Coast. They've really come along. And they're not the team we expected Arnie to put up at the beginning of the season. So, look, hopefully he learns from that and he'll be a better coach for it.
Mm.
But Postecoglou made him pay.
He is, but he is doing well. But it was, I just thought it was interesting to me that, you know, when the tactical battle was on, he didn't offer a lot. But
no.
And he didn't change it. I think that was the other thing.
He
saw
it
that it went wrong pretty early on, didn't it? 1-0, 2-0. And he didn't change it. You'd think, well, hang on, we've got this badly wrong. It's not good. And you couldn't see it 2-0 where it was going to get any better.
What I find disappointing there, when we talked about him learning from hitting is the master of that. Hitting is the master of subs and turning a game and
adjusting to the conditions, basically being able to read the game.
Arnie didn't do that.
Which, when you say, Paddy, is he going to learn from it? Well, he's 50 odd. He's had a good experience. He's had a good experience under hitting, as you say, and he clearly hasn't learnt quickly enough. Now, the other games on the weekend were North Queensland and Perth Glory. Robbie Fowler scored a fantastic goal in the 1-1 draw up there. Melbourne Heart Sydney. I turned over from the Beckham feast to watch Heart.
Just on that 1-1 draw.
What a bland game.
That was hard.
I just want to mention of that Tando Villapi.
Please.
Was an awesome save.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
For free kick.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It really, really was good. And it matched the goal.
Wellington Phoenix 2, Melbourne Victory 2. Archie is back. Paul Ifield scoring a goal. So, you know, it's good to see Archie back. Melbourne Victory going to have a shout, I reckon, come the end of the season. Or not.
Yeah, I was sitting there looking at the table and I think they can make the top six. They're setting their run. Mm. They've got the experience. Archie Thompson's back. And hopefully goals will come with him. Hernandez will play better because he's starting, you know, the threat of Archie Thompson. I think they'll be in there and they'll ruffle some feathers in their final series.
But again, they do this every year, don't they, Paddy? Yeah. They always seem to kind of, you know, maybe start off a bit shaky. And I mean, they've had a few issues with them, you know, with Archie injured, and it's a pretty new look squad for them too. But they always kick into gear towards the end. So, and I think that Wellington were probably missing Paul Eiffel a lot. So, you know, the reintroduction of him, you know, I mean, you just saw his form. He came back
Sydney,
firing.
Just to cut you off there, Liz, because we've got to go soon. Yeah. But Sydney versus Wellington, Gold Coast, North Queensland is your Wednesday night football.
Woo.
Followed by, what have we got? On the weekend, we've got Melbourne Victory, Brisbane, Central Coast, Sydney, North Queensland, Newcastle, Wellington, Adelaide, Gold Coast, Melbourne, Heart. So plenty of football. And just very briefly, very quickly, Beckham Fest, it's all over.
Oh, it's all over. And again, we were just saying just then it was so painful to watch. Paddy, did you catch it at all?
I know, I'm at the other game. I'm at the Melbourne Heart game. No, I liked it because we beat the Americans and Sasha came out and got his goal before his retirement.
That's
and
right.
That was all good. It was all good. And Beckham got beaten. And I like to see Landon Donovan and Donovan Ricketts and Donovan, everybody there. So, and we said it was a full stadium. But you do wonder.
It was a bit bizarre seeing a full stadium, though, in an A-League football match, wasn't it?
It was a bit bizarre. Anyway, that's it. Paddy, I've got to talk to you. If you're going to the near post,
get there first.
And go there, Frank. Do it for us.
Yeah, come on.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. First, don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first if it's for football news that you third.